But we're in Psalm 42 this morning, and we'll read verses 1 through 5. It says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God this morning and for the opportunity once again to look into it. I pray you'd guide us and direct us through the working of your Holy Spirit and speak to each one of our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. From an article in the Daily Bread that I clipped that was dated back on May 7th, 1992, there was this story. During the 30 Years' War in the 17th century, German pastor Paul Gerhardt and his family were forced to flee from their home. One night, as they stayed in a small village inn, homeless and afraid, his wife broke down and cried openly in despair. To comfort her, Gerhardt reminded her of scripture promises about God's provision and keeping. Then, going out to the garden to be alone, he too broke down and wept. He felt he had come to his darkest hour. But soon afterward, Gerhardt felt the burden lifted and sensed anew the Lord's presence. And taking his pen, he wrote this hymn: "Give to the wind thy fears, hope and be undismayed. God hears thy sighs and counts thy tears. God shall lift up thy head. Through waves and clouds and storms, he gently clears the way. Wait thou his time. So shall the night soon end in joyous day." And the question I have for you is this: have you ever been where Gerhardt and his wife were at that point in their lives? Everything seems so good, and then your life seemingly falls apart. Now, the reality is that the mountaintop experiences of life are great. We can feel God's presence so real when we're on top of the mountain. But let's be honest. When we reach the valleys in life, we may even question if God is there with us. And with that in mind, I want us to look through these verses this morning and consider this thought: you can possess peace in a world of trouble. You can possess peace in a world of trouble. Now, notice with me, if you will, the subscription to this verse. Notice there's a few words before verse 1 in your Bible. It says, "To the chief musician, Maskil, for the sons of Korah." Now, you'll have to pardon me this morning because my seasonal allergies are acting up, and that's why I'm coughing a little bit this morning. But notice that, to the chief musician, Maskil, for the sons of Korah. Now, the family of Korah was a musical family in Israel, but they had a bad background, because Korah, their father, was a priest who led a rebellion against Aaron and Moses. And as a result, Korah faced God's wrath. And the psalmist who is writing this is writing from the point of view of the sons of Korah, who were technically priests, but because of their family history, they were barred from the temple. And they were banned from fulfilling their priestly duties. And they are heartbroken. They are heartbroken. And the author is writing as a son of Korah who is in exile from the temple. As stated in verse 4, he had worshipped there many times and desired to once again return to the holy place. So he is not just suffering from a craving to go to the temple. He is in great anguish over the fact that he is separated from the Lord's house. And so he says, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. And then he asks the question, when shall I come and appear before God? When will I be able to come back to the temple? When will I be able to resume my spiritual responsibilities as a priest? And he says, my tears have been my meat day and night. And so I ask you, have you ever been to this point? To the place where there is discouragement and anguish everywhere you turn? Have you been to a place where you think you've reached rock bottom and then the bottom falls out? To be honest, we live in a world full of trouble. Things are bad and seem to only be getting worse. But I would like to share with you this morning some good news, and it's this. Even in the midst of the greatest storms of your life, you can possess the ultimate peace if you know Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Because Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, writing to us, writing to believe, he's not writing here to the lost world, he's writing to believers here, and he says this, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, as we look at these verses in Psalm 42, I want to pose a few specific questions. The first is this, are you looking for help? Now, I would imagine that there are some folks, even here this morning, who are in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a difficulty, midst of despair. And the next few verses illustrate a time of despair in the life of the psalmist. And from his experience, we learn that you may endure a time of misery. That's why he says in verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night. The psalmist is in pure agony. There seems to be no relief in sight. He didn't just have spurts of trouble. His was a constant pain. And you may be facing a time of misery in your own life. Your family may be in turmoil. Your children may have rebelled against you and against God. Your marriage may be falling apart and on the brink of divorce. Your financial situation may be in dire straits. You may not know how you're going to make ends meet. You may be unemployed and willing to work, but you can't find employment, and discouragement may have set in to the point where you don't even feel like trying anymore. Health problems may have come into your life or in the life of a precious loved one, and you receive some bad news from the doctor, and you aren't sure if you can face the pain that's coming. And these are just a few of the troubles that people may be facing. You may be in a valley, and it seems to you that no one could possibly comprehend the agony in your life. You may be at the place where you're ready to throw up your hands and quit. And of course, usually when there is a time of misery, there's also a time of uncertainty that comes with it. And you may face a time of uncertainty. If you look at the rest of verse 3 there, after he says, "My tears have been my meat day and night," he says, "While they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" People ask the psalmist, "Where's your God in all of this?" And many in our day are asking us the same question. People hear us talk of that wonderful day when Christ will return to take us home to glory. And then some will say, "Well, you know, Peter and James and John and Paul, they all thought that that would happen in their lifetime, but it didn't. And here we are 2,000 years later, and it still hasn't happened. Where is he? Where is he?" And that's not the only time the lost world says, "Where is he?" The lost world will also see a Christian suffer and say, "Where's your God? I mean, if he's so great, why are you going through this time in your life?" And we may not have the answer, but we know the one who is the answer, and his name is Jesus. Troubles and trials come with an element of uncertainty. We're in the middle of them, and we don't know what the outcome is. We don't know how long they'll last or the end result. And this is where faith matters most. You see, not only are lost people confused as to why Christians suffer many times, but we will ask the same questions like, "Why me, Lord? Why me?" You see, a time of misery can lead to uncertainty, and a time of uncertainty can lead to perplexity. And you may face a time of perplexity. Look at verse 4 again here. He says, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept the holy day." The lost world and Christians alike will ask the question, why do Christians suffer? Why do Christians suffer? Now, we all know the general answer to that question. And it's that we live in a sin-cursed world, and suffering is part of the curse upon the world, right? So that's the general answer. But why do Christians suffer individually? Well, we don't always know. We don't always know. See, there are just some things that we will not know this side of heaven. Now, we do know, we do have an explanation as to why Christians sometimes may face the things I mentioned earlier. That's found in 1 Peter chapter 1. So keep a marker here, or keep your finger here, but look at this with me for a second. 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll begin in verse 6 once you get over to 1 Peter chapter 1. It says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, verse 6, 1 Peter 1, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And the word temptations in the context means trials. We know that from the next verse. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory, unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You see, sometimes Christians suffer because God is testing them. Sometimes Christians suffer because God is teaching them. Sometimes Christians suffer because God's simply trying to toughen them up. There are all different kinds of reasons, and we don't always know why. So yes, we may face times of uncertainty. We may ask the question, why me, Lord? We may feel all alone. And it is in these times that we must remember that although we may be uncertain, God is not. God is not. He is in control. In 1 Peter 5:10, it says, But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, will make you perfect, that is, mature, and establish, and strengthen, and settle you. See, again, God is in control. And you can trust him even when you don't understand. And the reason you can trust him, even when you don't understand, is because of a little phrase that's found in Psalm 18:30. It says, as for God, his way is perfect. As for God, his way is perfect. And so question number one is, are you looking for help? If you are, trust in God and in the fact that he has things under control. Now, the second question is this. Are you living with hope? Not just are you looking for help, are you living with hope? There's no question about it. Troubles and hardships will come. And in these times, we must cling to our blessed hope, which is Jesus Christ himself. Titus chapter 3, verse 12, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, often we're like the apostles after Jesus' ascension. If you remember the story, they're there at the Mount of Ascension, and he is taken up from them on a cloud, and then they just stand there with their mouths hanging open, just glaring off into space, and an angel speaks to them and says, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. And the reality is that when Jesus does return in power and glory, there will be peace on earth available to all. But we do not have to wait for him to return to receive peace. Because he is always present with us. He said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And in Matthew 28:20, he said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We don't have to wait for the next life to have hope and peace. We can have hope and peace in this life. Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so you can have hope. You can have hope in your Savior. Now, having this hope involves, first of all, a spiritual assessment. You notice he says here back, let me go back to Psalm 42 here. You'll notice he says in verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? You know what he's doing? He's doing a spiritual assessment there. He's giving himself a spiritual self-examination. And in the midst of the psalmist's problems and troubles, he finds hope. And if you'll notice, at this point, nothing has changed. He's still in exile from the temple. He's still in the midst of the storm. But at this point, he finds hope. And we can find this same hope. This involves a spiritual assessment. We must follow the example of the psalmist and search ourselves to find that hope that is within us. We too can say, why are you cast down, O my soul? And the point is that we don't have to be cast down. We can have peace in the valley, even when things are falling apart. When we're in the midst of despair and discouragement, we can say, just as the old hymn says, it is well with my soul. and giving ourselves a spiritual assessment helps us to keep that perspective. But not only does having hope in the Savior involve a spiritual assessment, but it also involves sweet assurance. Sweet assurance. Look at the end of verse 5. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. There is a sweet assurance that we can experience in the middle of the valley. We can endure the valley if we put our hope and our trust in Jesus. So many people look to everything other than Jesus when they are in the valley. But let me tell you something. Nothing in this world can give you the hope and the joy and the peace that comes from our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't find it anywhere else in this world. It's funny, sometimes people will go to God to simply remove the trouble when he initiated the trouble in the first place. And it reminds me of a poem that I came across many years ago. Let me share this with you. The road is too tough, I said. Dear Lord, there are stones that hurt me so. And he said, dear child, I understand. I walked it long ago. But there's a cool green path, I said. Let me walk there for a time. No, child, he gently answered me. The green path does not climb. My burden, I said, is far too great. How can I bear it so? My child, he said, I remember the weight. I carried my cross, you know. But I said, I wish there were friends with me who would make my way their own. Oh, yes, he said, Gethsemane was hard to bear alone. And so I climb the stony path, content at last to know that where my master had not gone, I would not need to go. And so let me ask you this. Are you looking at your troubles, or are you looking at God to handle them? If you will look to him and trust in him, it is possible to possess peace in a world of trouble. I'll tell you what got me to thinking about this. A couple of weeks ago, somebody posted this on Facebook. They said, peace is not the absence of trouble. It is the presence of Christ in the middle of that trouble. That's what peace is. The trouble that you are facing may be difficult now, but it may be an opportunity for God to work a miracle in your life. He may be using this time to teach you. He may be using this time to purify you. He may be using this time to prune you so that you can become more fruitful. And he may use this time to teach others through you. Not long after arriving in New Hebrides as a pioneer missionary, John G. Patton and his wife rejoiced in the arrival of a new baby son, brought a lot of joy to their house. But that joy was short-lived, because very soon after that, death took both his wife and his child. And Dr. Patton had to dig their graves and bury his loved ones with his own hands. In writing of his experience, he testified this. He said, if it had not been for Jesus and the fellowship and grace he afforded me, I am certain I would have gone mad and died of grief beside their lonely graves. But being marvelously strengthened from above, this bereaved servant of God found that the promises of the Word and the presence of the Savior were able to sustain him through the heartache and sorrow of his tragic loss. He found peace in the midst of trouble. Folks, whatever you may face in this life, remember that God is in control and Jesus cares when you're hurting, and you can look to him for peace. Remember what he said in John 16, 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Through faith and trust in Christ, it is possible for you to possess peace in a world of trouble. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for the lessons we learn as we look at this psalm. And Lord, I pray that if there is somebody in this room this morning that's struggling, somebody that's going through a difficulty, a rough patch in their life, maybe a very serious trouble in their life, this morning I pray that they would cast that care upon you and they would trust you for the peace and the hope that they need to get them through whatever it is they're dealing with. Lord, I pray that people would leave this building this morning feeling unburdened as they've taken their burdens and placed them at your feet. Lord, we thank you for the mountaintop experiences. They bring great joy to us. But we thank you that in the valley, we can trust your presence. We can trust your help. We can trust in your love. And we can trust in the fact that you are in control and that you always want what's best for our life. So help us, Lord, to do exactly what this psalmist did and find our hope and our peace in you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.